What's going on, people, man? You're tuning into episode 22 of the Is Not Easy podcast, man. We've got Sheldon in the building. How you doing, bro?
I'm blessed to be here, man. Hey. Thank you so much for inviting me on.
No, it's all good, bro. Yeah. It was all good. I'm feeling good today, though. Like, the weather's nice.
Yeah.
It's Sunday. Yeah. It's the first time I've recorded on Sunday, by the way. We've never recorded on Sunday before. Okay. Never recorded on Sunday before. Okay. So, thank God we've got a new day. Mm-hmm. We've got a new week. And we're happy to be here, man. How you feel about the weather, though? The past week's been nice.
I just go with the flow. You know, we're in England, so yeah. You can't really trust it. I only really get into the weather when I've got somewhere to go or somewhere to be.
Yeah.
Or like if I'm shooting content with the cars and stuff, I would ideally want better weather, but
it's
just the nature of the beast, really.
Yeah, man. England. How I've kind of realised it is that personally, I can't trust the UK weather. Like, I got to see this for like a few more weeks before I trust you. Yeah. I'm still thinking my jacket out. Yeah. I can't trust you yet.
Listen, you know what I mean? In the car right now, there's shorts in there. You know what I'm saying? There's shorts in there. So, yeah, man, you've got to be prepared for it, man.
Yeah.
Those things.
Yeah. But how's your week been, though, bro? All good?
It's been good. I think apart from the reason why I'm here, the Whip Whisperer.
Whip Whisperer.
Yeah. What a name. We'll get into that.
We'll get into that for sure.
Yeah, it's just you know, been a good week at work. Really grateful for it, I think, because
thank God, still.
The 25 plates just come out.
That comes out March, right?
I've got one.
Hey!
Yeah, cast, hey! Shout out to my workplace.
I've always wanted a company car from work.
Yeah.
I've always wanted a company
car. It gets dark, though, sometimes.
Is it? Right. You see it in the movies, and it's like, you know, the American movies as well. Yeah. You see it, and it's like, I would love to have my own company car.
Yeah.
I would love that. Yeah. But how is it, like, on a day-to-day basis?
It works in two ways. So usually you have something called, so I'm a car salesperson. That's my day job. But you have something called benefit in kind, which anyone can get really as long as you work in the UK. And it's almost like a salary sacrifice. So they will tax you slightly more. You don't really see it come out of your pay, but you're taxed on a slightly different banding to other people. The tax code is slightly different.
Okay.
You have this car. There's ways around it. So when I worked at Land Rover, I had like a hybrid Range Rover. And then that.
Yo, you can't be dropping those names. That's Land Rover. Okay, cool. Flow.
When you have like a hybrid, you tend to pay less tax.
Okay.
It's like a tax break in it, which is a whole other game. But now, fortunately, with my company I work for, it's just a salary sacrifice. You just pay one amount per month and that covers your insurance, your tax. So fun fact, I've only ever owned 3 cars in my whole life. Fair and that was when I was younger. So I'm just very grateful that the car thing is sort itself out. Yeah. Someone did scratch my car on my road and I had to pay the insurance excess and stuff like that. Jarring. So you do take little L's in it.
Yeah. So I'm assuming, like, you know, in the car industry, it is quite common for you to have company car.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Okay, makes sense.
I think the reason why is because your car, depending on how far you live as well, innit, people don't understand how much stress goes on your car, your brakes, your tires, etc. So when the company turns around and says to you, listen, every 3 to 6 months, you're going to be in the latest car. I'm not paying for service. I'm not paying for MOT. If I get a puncture, they'll sort it. So it's the little things. But at the same time, it's necessity from their perspective because you're representing the brand. Yeah. The day you leave that job, you give the car back.
Yeah, for sure.
So I always tell people, look, as sexy as it might look, getting around in new cars all the time, I could chop and change into what I want, thank God. If I want to move house, I'll say to them, can I take a larger car, like an SUV? And they'll say, they're quite all right.
That feels good. Flip, that sounds good. Yeah, yeah.
But great responsibility comes, you know what I'm saying? Great responsibility comes with great power
that's true. That's true.
You're driving around in someone else's car. If you get a scratch on it,
it's on you.
So I've recently had my company car scratched and I had to get it sorted. So it's those things. But yeah, man, it's a massive benefit. And that's I'm a lover of cars. So to be always in the latest technology, seeing the latest screens, I think it's a massive blessing. Nice. And I don't take it for granted any day of the week, for sure.
Yeah, that's good. That's good still. Let's get into a few quickfire questions, though. Yes. Quickfire questions. Yes. All right, cool. What is the very first thing you do when you wake up in the morning?
Woo!
Very first thing, right off the bat.
The first thing I do is I say thank God in it.
Woo! Thank God.
Yeah, I got to thank
Sunday
God.
As well. Thank God for sure.
Got to thank God. And then I think I reflect on the day before. So I have like 5 or 10 minutes where I just lay in bed and I just think, okay, what was yesterday like? What did you do wrong? What are you going to do today? What challenges are you going to face today? Because usually you have appointments, people come to see the car, or if I'm doing a whip whisper, our clients I've got to see. So I just always, I try not to think about me at the start of the day.
Yeah.
I think it actually ruins your day sometimes because you wake up, you're late or you've missed breakfast or whatever and you're being a bit like, you know, aggressive or a bit ratty and then you run into someone on the road, you carry that throughout the day.
So carry that energy with you. Yeah.
So I always try and say, you know what? You're up, you're free. You know, you can walk out of your bed. You can walk to the bathroom. That's a blessing. And you leave the rest to God and just do the best that you can. And,
that's good.
Be a nice person, I think, is one of those things because getting in the car industry, sales in general is quite competitive.
Yeah, sales is very, it's got a bad reputation, isn't it?
It does.
Sales industry.
It does.
Yeah.
But car sales is very loaded because a car, for most people, is the second most expensive thing you ever buy in your life. And for most of us, Gen Z or whatever, our generation, it's probably going to be the most expensive if you've never bought a house. So it's such a loaded topic. And when people do come into your space, your showroom, whatever, and you've got to deal with them, you have to understand that they might be a little bit hesitant, a little bit scared.
Yeah.
These people might even be older than you and more wiser in certain aspects of life.
Yeah.
But you're the expert in cars.
You're the expert, yeah. You've got to respect that almost.
Exactly. And leave people to it. At the end of the day, my old sales manager say to me, Sheldon, why are you running around the showroom? You're not saving someone's life. Do you get what I mean? Like, you can relax.
That's true.
I try now not to take it so seriously. I've been selling cars like the last 8 years. So
serious.
Yeah,
that's serious.
Yeah,
and it's great that you say that as well because I work in PR, and there's a saying in our industry that is PR not ER.
Yeah,
like, bro, it's not that deep. Like, of course, it's important, and we've got our clients that we want to serve and do good work for. But bro, it's like it's not life or death, bro.
It feels like that sometimes. Though, do you know what I mean? The stuff needs to be done. It can feel like it is.
Yeah, for sure.
I think even the way I started in cars, I was very blessed.
Mm.
So I always say it's got to be God's plan.
God's plans.
Yeah. I think growing up, I grew up in a Jamaican household.
Ooh, okay.
And my dad was into cars. My uncles were into cars. But they were very surface level with it. And I think any young boy until the age of about 5, you're really into cars. You give any 2 or 3 year old a car and they'll be happy with you. Like a toy car, they'll be happy with you. Like my nephews and that, I get them cars. But I understand as you get older, other things take your interest. Fair. Sports, etc. And I was actually reasoning with one of my barber about this the other day, you know, it's so funny.
Yeah.
He was saying, you know, you come up to the barbers with new cars all the time, it's such a blessing. I say, yes, but at the same time, this is a 20 plus year journey. Because when I was a kid.
Not overnight.
Yeah, of course. But when you're a kid from the hood and you're like talking about cars, people are like, yeah? Do you get what I mean?
It's
no big deal. But all my friends were watching Match of the Day. I was watching Top Gear. So it was a lonely childhood, really. Because I never really had like my older brothers around me to be like, all right, you like cars, I like cars, and you could sort of have this common ground.
Yeah.
So it was very lonely in adolescence and even through the teenage years.
Yeah.
Because I was in school and telling people how gearboxes work and how engines work. And people are like, bro, you don't even drive. You almost sound like a hypocrite.
But that interest was always there, right?
Yeah, but I think it's so weird to say, and it's such a, looking back at adolescence and early teenage years, it's probably a darker time for me because I wasn't really included in things like the average young boy would in terms of I was pit last for PE, I was dead at ball, do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was very frustrating for me and I'd almost like question God, like, bro, why am I not the cool, why am I like not the guy, do you get what I'm saying? But God had a different portion for me and I remember even little things like, you know, I liked other stuff. Like, I was really into like wrestling and stuff and even motorbikes. I was into that. But I think God had it where it was like, no, this is what it's supposed to be because
this is your path, bro.
Yeah. But as a kid, you're just thinking, raw, you're looking. I didn't realize it at the time, but I read a book called, but basically it was like the 10,000 hour rule in it, which is like this Chinese thing, which is like you become a master or something.
Yeah.
But at the time I remember like, there'd be days where I'd think, how many hours am I on?
Bro, I've clocked up a lot.
Yeah, because what I'd do is I'd find a car that I liked and I'd research the car to the death.
Yeah.
I'm talking how the width of the car, gearbox, weight. And it's because I think it was an insecurity. Like, I was never going to be the it guy to what everyone else's standards would be, kicking ball, whatever, girls, whatever. It just weren't me. And I think I was okay with it at the start. And then when I got to like year 7, year 8, I was like, raw, it's really weird because I'm not doing what everyone else is doing. Like all the men will be kicking ball. I've gone to the library to read about the history of Alfa Romeo or something for like a whole hour. And I had an epiphany. There was a mad moment, funny enough. I was in year 7.
Yeah.
you know, young boy, lazy, copying homework. You know what I mean? And I was really bad with, my hand-eye coordination was never great.
Okay.
Again, you know, not great at PE or anything like that. Just physical activity in general. Yeah. So when they did things like DT and you had to make things, I was like not really hearing it. And once my teacher was like, listen, we're going to throw you in like an hour and a half detention. You've not done homework in like 7 weeks.
Damn.
But I think the assignment was to find a prototype of something. So find a prototype of something and, you know, present it to the class. Now, bearing in mind, plagiarism was my thing. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to copy and paste everything. But it was getting bait. He was realizing like, yo, you're copying people's homework.
Yeah.
So I said, it's got to be something that's so technical that only I would know. So even if I did plagiarize it, it's so technical, you couldn't tell me I'm wrong.
You can't say, yeah.
So I went home, racked my brain, trying to find a prototype of everything, cameras, phones. I said, I'm trying to find a prototype of a car. And I remember literally Googling a BMW prototype and a car came up. And at the time, I didn't know what a prototype was, but this was like a car that they were never going to make, etc. And they were showing the underneath of a car. I have never seen that before. It blew my mind. I'd never seen an engine or a gearbox. Because when you look at cars, you don't realize anything is underneath it.
Yeah.
It's the and shell. I feel like this is the shell of a car. Mm. Or the correct term is like the chassis of a car.
Yeah.
I was blown away. And then from there, I went, smashed it, homework. My teacher was very happy with me. But from there, I was like, this is a thing.
Something I'm going to change. You know? Something I'm going to learn more about. Yeah. Dive into more.
But I think I went into a very dark place at the time and locked myself and enclosed myself within it. Every day after school, I'd literally, like, hours in the library to the point where I remember I wrote a letter to Bentley and Aston Martin for work experience, right? And they wrote me back.
I respect it. Yeah, I'm serious.
Saying, listen, you're very serious about this, but you live so far away. And I was like, Mum, I'm going to move to Crewe, England, work for Bentley. She was like, you know Crewe, England's 5 hours away. I was like, yeah, calm.
But you go nowhere, but
so hungry.
Yeah.
And
the seeds were already planted, bro.
Yeah, but I didn't realise why.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think I still struggle to answer that question today, but it was just something I never let go of. And sometimes I look back at myself and think, is it a almost childish thing? Because I could have become an accountant or anything else, like was what I called a real job.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I wanted to sell cars. And I remember going into showrooms, and I was quite tall. I'd go in there after school to my local BMW, zip my jacket, and be like, yeah, got salespeople. Like, I was a real, real, you know, bother to them, because I'd go in there and go, what's the weight of that car? Because it's funny, I expected every car salesperson to be like Jeremy Clarkson. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I expected you not to know
not this. Everything.
Brother, turned out.
He's trying to make it work. Trying to make it work.
This kid comes in here every week, pretending to be a salesperson, but I didn't realize at the time that was an extreme manifestation.
Yeah.
And the actual deal.
And that was a super high standard as well. Yeah.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
And it was just insane to go through that. But looking back, it was a beautiful time. But at the time, I couldn't understand it. And I was frustrated to say, I'm gonna show everyone in it that this is not in vain. People are just like, bro, you like cars for now. When you grow up, you like something else. Like, my mum was just like, what's wrong with you? But my mum thankfully never really tried to shun it.
Yeah.
My mum never drove cars. So she was just like, all right, cool, innit?
Yeah.
That's, as long as you're keeping yourself quiet, you're not getting in trouble.
You're getting in trouble, yeah.
Yeah. Bro. But I was, even looking back at it now, I'd be scared to see a 14-year-old me at a laptop, because I was
just onto it.
Making, like, I never wrote anything down.
Yeah.
I never went to a car school or anything. So, just became obsessed with it, to the point where once we was all in Morley's, me and my brethren, as you do.
Yeah.
And this guy was outside. It was a beautiful summer's day and he was revving his car. And literally, looking away, I can't even see the road. I just said to my brethren, if this guy doesn't stop revving the life out of that C63, one of my friends was like, what did you just say? I was like, yeah, man, these idiots, man. I know it's a new C63, but why you don't have to drive like that? But again, I'm not paying no attention. I'm just waiting for my food. One of my brothers was like,
how do you know?
But they were thought that I was chatting BS. They was like, bro, he's just talking. One of the kids, I kid you not, ran up to the guy's car in the middle of traffic, you know, walked behind the man's car and said, oh, you, man, it says C63.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize I unlocked like a new superpower. I was able to tell cars by sound.
The sound. Ooh, that's
cold blooded. Mad, right? And I remember once I went to Dots, I was like, something's wrong with me. I was like, I can tell cars by sound. And I was really freaking out about it. And the woman was like, it's muscle memory.
Yeah.
But I was like, muscle memory is only for, no, she was like, muscle memory can also be for sound. So like, you might hear your mum call your name, you know it's your mum.
Or you hear someone come upstairs, like, you know who it is.
Yeah, but she was just like, in your case, it's just cars. But she was like, how many times per day do you listen to like engines and stuff?
Yeah.
I was like, so kids would walk around with their headphones like what you got on, yeah? Mm. They listen to music, Rav. I'm listening to cars. Like the whole school journey, cars. Like if you could hear what's in here, you're hearing F1 cars, you're hearing cars. I can't see the car, but I'm listening to it.
Damn.
And looking back again, it was frightening.
Mm. It became an obsession.
It was weird.
Yeah.
And then just thank God, man, it worked out. But yeah it was a, I had to really get in that mode, man.
Yeah, yeah.
It was
serious. Yeah. That's deep. That was a big detour as well. But that's deep to almost to see how it was in the younger years.
Yeah.
That's super important to see.
I wouldn't want my kids to do that.
Yeah.
Go outside, touch grass, bro.
More like balanced, right?
Yeah. Touch grass, man. Touch grass.
All right, cool. So next one. 9 to 5 or business?
I would say a business. Only because you can shape how you want it to look.
Mm.
I think when I first started the Whip Whisperer, again, this is going back in the story, but I think I was quite bitter because I was 19 when I first became a car salesman. I think I started working in recruitment because you needed sales experience. They couldn't give a toss what you thought about cars. Could you sell them? Could you sell something? So I was quite green because I was like 17 and luckily I got this, I don't know how I landed this job in this recruitment agency for like 2 years. Then I started working at Ford. I remember I crashed my company car the first week, bro, trying to show off in front of the man them on the estate.
How did that happen?
I was just with the man them. I was like, hey, look at this. Wheel spun into like a wheelie bin. Like some metal bin. Yeah, it was mad. To not digress too far from the question. When I worked a 9 to 5, I realized I was biased. So if you worked for Ford, Fords were the best cars. Then they had a great training facility, by the way. And I worked for all these different companies. By the time I was 21, my aim was to work for BMW, Audi, or Mercedes. They were like the big three.
Big boys,
Like, you know, in Bayern Munich, call off
the big three.
And I did work for the big three, but I didn't work for them for very long. Each job was 6 months and then I'd quit or find some excuse. I think I wasn't humble enough because I was like, oh, well, I'll just go get another job. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think I wanted it my way, as in you getting up and going to work and listening to someone, no, sell the car like this. This is how finance works. I was like, bro, I'm trying to show you a lot that I know everything about these cars. And it was just wrong and ignorant of me.
Mm.
But also you're 20, 21, like driving around new shape, Mercs all the time, like, mum's all telling you to wash the plates. I'm like, bro, I'm a Mercedes driver. Like, we talking about it. It's AMG on the mat.
Have you got this?
On the mat. I'm not cleaning nothing. So that was doing 9 to 5. And then when I started the Whip Whisperer as a business, I was very bitter at the time because I'd left the job. I'd become redundant in COVID. And all my mates were like, follow me to like help me buy a car. I'd be like, no, do it yourself. You can go in there and negotiate yourself. But I realized there was a massive gap.
There was a gap there. There was a in our culture as well.
And I actually said to my friends, all right, cool, pay me. I charged them like silly money, but I was like, pay me, innit? Because I was like, cool, now that I've asked them for money, they're going to tell me no. Like, you can stay in your house. And they would literally just call me and be like, okay, just come here and negotiate the deal and go home and I'll pay you. And I was like, fine. I was like, rah, this is taking me 10 minutes and I've earned this amount of money. It's like, rah. But I didn't know that I was becoming the business, you get it? So yeah, definitely business over a 9 to 5, but a 9 to 5 is a great way to start. And I think
you grow from that. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Next quick one as well. Finance or buying outright?
It depends.
Okay, talk to us about
that. Yeah. That's a big one.
Yeah.
I get slandered because I'm like, oh, you're told to push finance and no, I think cars are great, but it's vanity at the end of the day. And you're not going to feel the same way you feel about a car as you did 5 years ago. Probably even 5 months ago.
Oh, I realized that. You know, I've always deeped.
Yeah.
After the first 3 months of having your new car, bro, it just get you from A to B.
Yeah.
After the first 3 months, the honeymoon period, after that goes, it just get you from A to B, bro. You go to work, you go to party, whatever it is, it just get you from A to B. Yeah. So how have you, is that, like, after you got almost, knowing you're thinking ahead about your new car, think past the honeymoon phase. Mm-hmm. Think part of honey me fit, but go on, bro.
Because it's not, I think it's because it depends what you see a car as.
Yeah.
When you're young, it's like lit. You see it on TikTok, like cleanup crew. So I think that's the problem with finance is people see it as it's a young person's way to get yourself into serious debts. and get yourself into serious trouble. Mm. Whereas if you save for the car and you buy it outright, no one can't tell you nothing. So it's quite an old school way of looking at it, which I can appreciate both sides. But I think buying a car outright sometimes can really hurt when you get the depreciation.
Mm.
So when I worked for Land Rover, Land Rovers at one point were going for overs, as they called them. So after COVID and everything, basically they shut the factory. You couldn't get one. It was like a year waiting list. Okay. So people would pay, I'd buy your Range Rover Sport slot off you because it was coming in July.
Yeah.
When mine coming in December, and I'd give you 20K on top. So
interesting. Okay.
But the next year when Land Rover had their insurance problem and the cars went like this, if you had paid 100 grand for that car, it's now worth 60. Losing 40 grand, I don't care how rich you are, it's gonna hurt.
It's L.
At least when you're on finance and you're paying down the car, your capital is not invested in that car. You can use the money for something else.
You're not overexposed.
Yeah, and yeah. I always say it's a toy. It's, you know, people spend their money on drip, going out, whatever. It's a toy. As long as you can afford it and it makes sense, then yeah.
Yeah.
And if you have a business, like a limited company, and you can put the car through there, you're winning as well. So yeah.
But do you still like agree on the your car repayment? It should not be any more than about 20% of your monthly income.
It's your personal money. For example, I live and I pay rent and, you know, I've got different responsibilities to 20-year-old Sheldon who would have been like, okay, £400 a month is not expensive for me. I'm not giving my mom no money. I'm not even paying for food.
Yeah.
So it's where you are at your life. Yeah, I always say I would even go further, you know, I'd say 10% of your salary because it gets real expensive. Petrol.
Yeah.
You know, parking tickets. Tires, like, do you know how much one tire costs on a BMW one series run flat? Like £200. A CLA tire costs about £250 for one tire. So imagine if you drive over a shard of glass on the same side.
Hey,
it's a £500 day.
That's a 5-bill week for no reason.
Exactly, right?
Yeah,
take it slow, obviously, when you get your first car, because it teaches you how to manage your money. A car's like having a child. Every time you get out and look at it, you're going to spend money today.
So that's quite cold-blooded.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah, that's true, you know?
You will.
Yeah,
you're
going to
spend petrol, congestion charge, whatever it might be. But if you have a Corsa and you're 20, you're learning this, you're seeing like, rah, I've got 3 parking tickets in a month. Okay, I've got to think about where I park.
Mm.
Or, you know, I've got to watch my tire pressures because I don't want to keep on getting punctures. It's the little details.
Yeah.
Because when the manyan, yeah?
It starts throwing out.
Yeah, them big boy GLEs and Range Rovers you not want, it gets dark.
We got to talk about that, you know? You know it is, yeah. And I'm going to get into it later, but may as well do it now, man. Like, you know, we're here anyway, yeah? Cool. What do you think is, like, driving or like, making, I guess, our culture as well, like, be in love with Mercs?
Yeah.
I'm seeing a big influx. Like, even the girlies are into it.
Yeah.
The homegirls are into it, like, a lot as well. Of course, the mandem have been for a while. Like, what do you think it is?
Mercedes are, to me, marketing geniuses.
Woo!
Mercedes are for the ladies. So, the first car I ever made was a Mercedes. The first driver's license was actually Mrs. Benz. So, Daimler, so you had Daimler. So if you look at any Mercedes windscreen, you'll have a signature and it's Daimler.
Okay.
And he was the investor. And obviously you had, I forgot the guy's name now, but Mr. Benz basically, and him and his wife. And he was building this car and it didn't work. And then one day she said, I'm going to drive it to my mom's house. And she had to obviously get a driver's license. So the first driver's license was actually from a woman, Mrs. Benz.
Yeah.
And she drove the first car, which was a Mercedes Benz, on the road. Now, why the culture love Mercs so much is because they listen to the culture.
Mm.
So if you have like Jordan and Nike, it's because, again, Michael Jordan, who he was, who represented to the culture, meant that he brought everyone with him.
Mm.
When you look at Mercedes, even if you look at things like G-Wagons, the early 2000s, if you were someone, you had a G-Wagon, right?
Yeah.
Shaggy, Kim Kardashian, Britney Spears.
All the big stars.
They all had these
the culture,
things.
Yeah.
Even when I watch certain movies like Paid in Full, etc., the dope boys of the 80s or the people that we sort of...
That'd be cool. Product placement, bro.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
And it's because Mercedes was always a sign of wealth.
Mm.
But I think nowadays, if you look at like the new A-class and everyone's on the A-class, whatever, they literally put Nicki Minaj in the advert.
Mm.
Nicki Minaj is in the advert for a reason. They understand that, I think in America, the most... Mercedes are bought by black people. So I think as well, it's in our...
It's that symbols, bro.
Black people want to shine, you know? Yeah. I remember, like, where we come
from. It's that symbols.
I was seeing an interview with the rapper called Pimp C, and he was saying, don't judge the young boys because they want flashy chains and watches. If you look at the Egyptians and the pharaohs from Africa, we liked gold.
That's true.
Do you get what I mean?
Ooh, that's cold-blooded, yeah.
So it's like, us as I remember, like, even in my culture as a Jamaican, having a Benz was like, you made it.
It was, hey, you know? You made it, bro. You
got that, everyone's got that competition Benz. At church, like, yeah. Church, you're whipping the mad yeah. thing.
And even the GLS, GLCs, like, all the aunties have, yeah. Serious. Yeah. The big thing, I just noticed that, and I was like, oh, yeah, like, is definitely something here. And you know what I think it is as well? Mm. It's a bit of a chain reaction.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when you see, like, a few of your homegirls have it, yeah. Oh, okay, I want that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I feel like finance, yeah, has made higher value cars more accessible, really. Correct. If we're being real. Yeah. So I feel like, I think it's a good and bad thing. Mm-hmm. I think the good thing is that, damn, like, cool, I have the opportunity,
yeah.
to have a car that I would have like otherwise not be able to afford.
Yeah.
And now I can have this, I can enjoy that,
yeah.
luxury feeling.
Yeah.
Like, the negative of it is that it can push you to get something that you can't really afford yet, really.
Yes, but I think prevention is better than cure. I always tell people, for example, like, when I get my clients' cars and they're like, oh, source me a car. I'm like, okay, there's a lot of people that can source you a car, but the sort of point of the whip whisperer when I first started it was to teach it to you. So you might use my service once. I might find you your A-class and then you never speak to me again, which is fine, but I know you know it. Mm. Like, some of my clients will message me like, oh, I got this car. Like, one of my friends, she got a C-class years ago, and then one day she messaged me like, "Raw, I'm in the E-class now." I said, "Raw." But she, you know, she was like, "Thank you, because I learned it." So I think life's what you make, in the sense of, we can learn financial literacy through finance as well. You can learn about APR, etc.
We're gonna get into that as well.
You can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. People say, oh, if you can't afford it. But I would say to my little brother, like, bruv, you got Amiri jeans, bruv. And I can't even tell they're Amiris. They look like Zara's. But to him, the drip must be televised. So it's, how could I judge you?
Yeah.
Or like people at work, even now, like, I'm like, bro, I'll make lunch or Tesco meal deal.
Yeah, for sure.
These men are like, bruv, we're having Chinese all week. And that's what you do with your money. So it's hard for me to tell someone what to do with their money.
Yeah, for sure.
But in terms of how it's influenced the culture, it's not to say the white man called Mr. James doesn't feel the same way about his Porsche 911. Trust me, he does.
No, they do.
But they're just from an era where they're not going to show it.
Yeah.
So instead of us lot linking a mandem on the block and going, look at the ambient lighting, Mr. James is more likely to go to his business meeting and go, have you seen the 911 downstairs?
Ooh, have you seen what I got?
Yeah, so don't feel like they don't want to flex. They flex, but it's different.
Yeah, exactly. And I'll be honest, I live in Essex as well. So of course, with like, you get a lot of white people in Essex, of course.
Yeah.
And bro, like, it's pretty much the same story, really. Like, they want nice cars and they also want to show that, yeah, I can afford nice things. It's like, it's a universal thing, but of course, from our culture, like, it's interesting, like, seeing how it's changed over time.
100%. Yeah, you know what I mean? And I think it will be a thing, sort of like with mobile phones, where everyone will have a nice car and we just sort of get on with it.
Yeah, yeah.
But also, having a banger's not good. Having a banger's not good neither, though. Because people go, oh, you're driving an A-class that costs you £400 a month. Okay, but you're driving a Vauxhall Corsa that hasn't started this week. which is, you know what I'm saying? Not knocking either person, but I was there.
You're hoping for the best every time you get an ignition, isn't it?
Like, my thing broke on Christmas Day, bruv. Ruined my whole day. Whereas now, you think of your phone, right? You're never going to get up and look at your phone and think, rah, this is not... It's not gonna start. Like, your phone always turns on. You look at your phone and you go, rah, my phone's on. Getting in your car and not starting is very dark. That could cost you a day of work. Do you get what I'm trying to say?
I said it's dark. It's dark, actually, bro. Dark. You know, that's a great point you made. And personally, yeah, I've got a rule now, yeah.
Mm.
I'm never going to buy a car or finance a car that has any more than about 30-35k miles.
Why?
Because I've experienced cars with high mileage.
Would you class that as high mileage, though?
Cool. So me personally, I view high mileage, if I'm going to have a car for like 3-4 years, yeah?
Yeah.
I view high mileage, anything over like 55, 60.
Yeah.
I feel like you're getting to a place now where like problems can start arising.
Now.
That's how I view. I've never get a car that's over 35k miles.
You know what? I think that's a great way of looking at it. But just ask yourself why you're doing that and I'll show you why.
Mm.
So the average person, yeah?
Yeah.
So according to the government, the average person does 12,000 miles a year.
Yeah.
Which is 1,000 miles a month, 250 miles a week. So that's a lot of driving, in my
opinion. That's quite a lot, though.
Right.
But
these people are doing the school run. Most people, even that live in this country, born and bred here, have family in like Cornwall, you know, Liverpool, whatever. So they do have to do the slightly longer drives.
Yeah.
So where people look at it and go, rah, I'm not buying a car with no more than 50,000 miles, especially when you're on finance, it's not really that deep. So I'll show you.
Cool.
When people have, there's two ways in which people usually finance cars, personally anyway.
Yeah.
Hired purchase and PCP. Yeah. Right?
You got better down for us as well. I'm going to break it down for you. Right, no, I called you, I need to know, bro.
So people that I've met are very like on HP in it.
Yeah.
Like, I own the car at the end. Yeah. There's no balloon payment to pay.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious because it's quite naive to think that. Mm. When I first started working in Ford, I worked in a new car team and our job was to sell as many new cars as possible. And I remember like customers would literally walk in the door, yeah?
Yeah.
They'd go, used car, new car, that car's 15 grand, this one's 25. We're not even looking at a 25 grand car, straight to 15 grand car. And one day I went up to my manager like, this don't make no sense. Mm. Like, why are we here? What's the point of buying a new car? And then he showed me, okay, you're not buying the car itself unless you're buying it cash.
Yeah.
You're actually buying the depreciation of the car.
Mm.
So I wish I had a line graph to show you.
Yeah.
But if you could imagine, yeah, like, when you're on a hired purchase agreement, yeah, you're paying the same amount every month. So that's a consistent line.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Your car's value is doing this. So take ULEZ.
Yeah.
ULEZ in 2014 never existed. So people were buying diesels because the government told them to buy a diesel, right? We'll give you free tax. Road tax on diesel was like £30 for the next five, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Diesel was cheap. And they were going, yeah. When the whole VW Dieselgate thing happened, they changed their mind and went, no, your car's not ULEZ compliant. What the hell is ULEZ anyway? So it's another way of taxing you.
Yeah.
So then if you're on hired purchase now, you're paying £400 a month for your car. Now your car's not worth anything. What do? You can't do anything because once you've paid that money, the car is yours. The depreciation of it's yours, etc. PCP now works the same. You put down a deposit, pay a monthly payment, but the balloon payment is not a random number. That number represents the car's guaranteed future value. So if you bought an A-Class for 25 grand, they'd say to you, okay, Sam, in 4 years' time, that car's going to be worth 10 grand based on you doing 6,000 miles a year or 24,000 miles over 4 years. Now, when you get to the end of the agreement, it's in your hands. So you're probably going to treat it like a mobile phone contract and upgrade the car or change it. Fine. You could pay the balloon payment and keep the car or you can walk away totally, right? So when people get to the end of it, they go, oh, the balloon payment's 10 grand, what'd I do?
Yeah.
No, it's, don't look at it like that. That's your best friend because the higher the guaranteed future value of the car is, the less monthly payment you pay because you're paying the depreciation. So when you look at that 25 grand car and think it's a brand new car, I'm not buying that, you probably will get a lower APR if you buy a new car. Yeah. And also you'll find the residual value, the balloon payment's higher, so you pay less depreciation. That's what people don't understand. You're paying the depreciation of the car. That's your monthly payment.
Yeah.
So when you get this car that you like right now, in 4 years' time, that 25 grand car, like how much going to be worth? You don't, no one could tell you, but it might be worth 5 grand. You don't know, right? Just like I was saying with the Range Rover thing where their values dipped because you couldn't get insurance. The world has gone mad.
Yeah.
So if you're on PCP, that balloon payment would have saved you because you can go to We Buy Any Car or anywhere else and they say, listen, Sam, your car's only worth 7 or 8 grand based on not the condition or nothing, the market.
The market,
they brought out a car that drives on water. What now? Right? So your 8 grand car, you're sitting there thinking, damn, I owe the finance company 10, 11 grand. No, you don't. You could just say to them, well, you lot have underwritten this value at 10 grand because it's not a guy at the back making up the number. It's an algorithm like your insurance. So they go, okay, it should be 10 grand. No, the car's worth 8. Hand it back to the finance company and walk away.
Yeah.
If the car is worth more, take the equity. I can sell the car to We Buy Any Car for 12 grand, settle the finance for 10, keep 2 towards my next car.
Keep the prof. Yeah,
I've got one client who's done that and they bought 7 cars in 5 years and then they started renting them.
Damn.
Because they were always getting equity, getting out the car at the right time. It's just a game like anything else.
Is that because the value of the car at the time of the balloon payment was greater than the amount left?
Correct. Okay. And you don't have to wait until the end with the balloon payments. Just like your mobile phone. If you get 2 years and you want to upgrade the phone, you can.
Mm.
It's just dependent on, okay, the mileage you do. So if you tell them you're doing 10,000 miles a year, you do 20,000. People think they're going to come to your door and go, you owe us money. No. The only time the mileage thing comes into play is if you hand the car back at the end because you're leasing it. If you part exchange or sell the car, you've settled the finance anyway. No one don't care.
Yeah.
So the when you look at a finance agreement, people go, I've got to do a certain amount of mileage or else. You don't. It's not a black box. So when you look at a black box on insurance, it's like the insurance company know your loyalty is only a year because you can get another insurance.
Mm.
So the minute you go over 6,000 miles, your insurance company is all over you and they want as much money as possible. Whereas the finance company sitting back going, mate, we're on a 4-year agreement anyway.
Yeah.
So people demonize car sales and how cars work, but it's not that deep. And when you run into people with real money, like footballers and entrepreneurs, you go, damn, you didn't pay cash for this? No, because what's $2,000 a month to a footballer?
Nothing.
Ooh, for a G-Wagon. Do you get what I'm saying?
That's true.
Your account would slap you if you ever paid $250,000 for that car.
Yeah.
Because it's losing money.
Yeah.
So
the value is all.
So it's financial literacy in it. It serious. Does get deep.
Yeah. Nah. So that's quite deep that you say that because, yeah, that's deep because, you know, when you realize that the amount that you're paying each month is really to account for the depreciation.
Yeah.
I never reviewed it like that, you know, that's quite deep. And, you know, when you touched upon that, and I feel like something that we need to know more of as well is about interest rates, bro.
Yes.
Talk to us about that. How does someone who's a new buyer, like how do they know, oh, I'm getting a good deal or not?
You shop around like anything else. I think dealerships have, so since 2025 January, dealerships have to disclose how much commission they make off finance, and it's alarming. Thousands of pounds, right? Because the FCA, so most dealers are FCA regulated. Me being a car salesperson, I'm FCA regulated. You can't just sell cars and talk about finance, bro. You'll put people in trouble. So, but if you was to ever go to court within a court battle between like a car dealer and a consumer, nine times out of 10, the consumer would win. There's so much consumer rights.
There's a lot.
It's mad. So interest rates, I always tell my clients, don't worry too much on the interest rate as much because you're not a financial advisor or you might not understand it. Worry about the monthly payment, but shop around. So 11.9% might sound wild to someone, 12% APR, but what's your plan for the car? Are you going to keep the car for 1 year, 2 years? Also, the residual value. So if you look at a bank loan versus like a PCP or banks will give you PCP as well, but they're a bank. They will not underwrite the car's value properly. So they'll say, okay, your APR is 5.9. And you go, yeah, but the balloon payment's $6,000 versus BMW giving a balloon payment of $10,000 with an interest rate of 10.9. So when you look at the monthly payments, which is the only thing you should care about, because again, I'm already spinning your brain here, I can tell.
When
you look at the monthly payments, you'd go, rah, they're really similar, or the dealership's beating them. Why? I always say to people, bank loans were so great and banks were so great, I wouldn't have a job. Dealerships aren't stupid, they're in a competitive market. So you have to find a median. To me, the median is a broker.
Okay.
So the car finance companies, so you have BMW Finance, you have Volkswagen Finance. I've even done deals for cars that are not Toyotas on Toyota Finance because the finance companies are just banks.
Yeah. It's just about interest.
Yeah. They're not dealerships.
Bottom line for them.
You're right.
It's about the bottom line.
The banks pay the dealerships. That's their job.
Yeah.
So when people get into it and they go, oh, well, the APR of the dealership is 12%, but when I go and get a bank loan, it's still more expensive. How do I counteract this? Easy. Go to a broker. I'm just going to give you guys some gems right now. Magnitude Finance, Oracle Finance.
Yeah.
Because what they'll say to you is, if you're on PCP, for example, they'll give you a good residual value. So they won't mess up the balloon payment because they know about cars, unlike banks. And also they'll give you a slightly lower interest rate. So instead of you paying 12.9 at Mercedes, pay 9.9. And then you see your monthly payments tumble.
Yeah.
So when my clients come to me and they're going, oh, I want a Peugeot. I'm like, no, you don't. You just think you can't afford a CLA.
Yeah,
but you can. And the best way to do it is use a broker. So you're not paying loads of interest. You're getting a good residual value. And you're doing things the right way. I'm a firm believer that you can have whatever you want in life with discipline and knowledge. Discipline to know I'm not going to break the bank and I've got a firm, you know, hold of my money and I know what I'm going to do with it per month. So the car makes sense. And also I've seek expert advice. That's one thing black people don't do. Seek expert advice. To me, what I do with my clients is almost like being a lawyer. Right, you can go to court and represent yourself, you'll get life, you'll
get
go
in there,
right? You'll go with your lawyer, you might get community service. And you think, how has this guy done this? His knowledge of the law compared to you is different. Expertise. Gravy,
yeah.
So,
that's serious.
What I'm trying to do for my people and for the culture is make cars fun in the sense that you can go to your mom and say, hey, mom, bought a nice car, and she's not going to go, Sam, what have you done? She's not going to panic.
I've had
uncles ring me, you know. What have you done to my daughter? Like, you put her in this finance. And then by the end of it, uncle's like, I might look at the range, you know.
Okay, so now I understood what you're on. Okay, right. Yeah.
And it's not designed to catch you out. Car finance is not designed to catch you out. And as much as we want to say what we want to say, cars will be around forever. People like cars, like how they like fashion or anything else, and they'll continue to like it. Just don't get yourself hurt. Seek expert advice. Seek a broker. Again, type in PCP or car finance broker. They'll come up. You put the reg in there, put the mileage in there. Yeah. It'll give you a quote.
It's all online nowadays, isn't it? You know what I mean?
Yeah, or you can even use it to negotiate against your dealer. Listen, Mr. Dealer, this Mercedes A-Class, £300 a month with my broker, you know, would you lot, it's 350. What are you going to do for me? Dealerships in this country can't change the interest rates. So before, they'd manipulate the interest rates. This is why car dealerships have such a bad reputation. They used to swindle people. Hmm. So if you'd go in there, you'd pay 9.9 because you didn't say anything. I'll go in there and go, I'm not paying that. They'll go, oh, okay, we'll put you on another lender. He's going to give you 6.9. When the FCA clocked this, they stepped in and was like, no, we're not doing that.
Mm.
It's either you set it and keep it as it is, do not change it.
Yeah.
So if a dealer gives you 10.9% APR, it's fixed.
Yeah, it's fixed. Fixed. Yeah.
So go to a broker, please, people.
Yeah. Now that's deep. Woo! Now, hey, it's bare gems today, you know. Hey,
awful gems, man.
I want to ask you, though, if there was, let's say, one piece of advice that you give to someone who is looking to finance a car right now out there. Let's say you got a young girl or you got a young boy and they passed their test and they're trying to get their first car.
Mm-hmm.
What is one piece of advice that you pass over to them, man?
Whatever car you want, go a level beneath it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Why do you say that, bro? Why do you say that?
Because a lot of cars are alike.
Yeah.
So greatest example of this is Lamborghini Urus.
Mm.
I know we're talking at a different level, but
yeah.
a Lamborghini Urus is 300 grand and it's a crazy car, don't get me wrong.
Mm.
But then you realize Audi owned Lamborghini, and an RS Q8 or an Audi Q8 is the same car. So let's say you want to get an A1.
Mm.
Yeah. Audi is owned by Volkswagen. So an Audi A1 is the same car as a Volkswagen Polo. They are literally the same.
Okay.
So before you go out there and get that bust down German Audi A1, maybe, again, it depends on where you are, how old you are, etc., your money to get it. But if you're thinking, oh, this is looking a bit rough, go and get yourself a Polo.
Get alternatives.
You know what I'm saying?
So there's alternatives out there.
Again, yeah, if you want to get that A-Class, you might think, oh, it's a bit much.
Yeah.
Go and get yourself a Fiesta first. Try it. That's all I say to people is, get your first car first and see how it is to maintain a car before you jump on.
Before you jump something big. Yeah.
We're saying that though, I had one of my clients, his first car was an E-Class coupe, you know, young boy, but he had a very good job and we spoke about it for weeks. And I said to him, why don't you start with a lesser car? And he said, well, when I'm thinking about it in terms of insurance, maintenance, etc., what I would be paying on this car through getting a broker or whatever, it's probably about £100 a month more. I'd rather pay it and get the car I want. I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't party. This is my thing.
Mm,
makes sense. So
serious.
Just make sure the car is a part of your lifestyle and it doesn't become your lifestyle.
Yeah.
And I'm talking to you as a person that when I was younger, what I did that was really stupid. I actually took out a car and financed for one of my brethren when I was like 8, I think I was like 18, 19, because I had a company car.
Yeah.
And then what ended up happening was me and him fell out, I ended up getting the car back.
Yeah.
And then I got made redundant. I couldn't afford, not necessarily to run the car, but the car broke.
Damn.
The engine went. So in the end, it messed up my credit for years. And I'm only just getting past that back now. So that's, again, another element of why I'm so passionate about it. Because I understand how it went wrong.
And
it was not me being financially irresponsible. I could afford the monthly payments. But I always tell people, a car is vanity. Warranty is sanity. Because if you have a car on a loan, or it's another thing, just to touch back on the finance thing,
yeah.
See, if you get a bank loan for a car, you're in a agreement with the bank.
Yeah.
So I've taken out a 20 grand loan to get this car and I bought the car. But now if you want to buy a house, that 20 grand worth of lending is gone.
Mm.
And also if the car breaks tomorrow, they don't care. You still owe them money. People are still paying for cars on finance that don't exist.
Mm.
Their cars were written off or stolen, whatever, but they still owe this money. Still got to pay it.
Got to pay it, right?
Damn. So I always tell people, get a warranty with your car because if the car goes kabang tomorrow, I'm not paying for it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Get a warranty with your car, people. Please. I don't care how old the car is.
Yeah.
I don't care if you think the car's mad reliable. It's a car. It can't tell you its arms hurting. It's a car. It doesn't have feelings. It will break. So always get warranty and also gap insurance. I know I'm shouting it. Please get gap. Gap insurance means if the car's written off or stolen, instead of what your insurance company will give you, like 30 grand car, they'll say in 2 years, oh, we're only going to give you 15 grand because that's the market value.
Yeah.
Gap insurance will negotiate with them, get them to raise their money up. And if you have finance outstanding on the car, they'll clear the finance and give you back your deposit basically. So get gap insurance.
I've heard a lot about
going to take finance.
Yeah, I've heard a lot about gap insurance.
Please get gap insurance, please. And
do you say it's crucial?
It's definitely crucial because when you have a phone, when you look at the word fully comprehensive, the term fully comprehensive, it means should this thing break or get destroyed, you should get a like for like replacement.
Yeah.
New. So if your phone breaks, you get a brand new phone.
Mm.
With cars, because cars depreciate, insurance companies have swindled people into thinking it's fully comprehensive. It's not. Because if you write for a car, if it's stolen, they'll go, well, your car's 30 grand when it was new. It's about 12 now. And you're going, what?
Yeah.
Then if you owe the finance company 15 grand, you got to pay the 3 grand difference yourself. You're cooked. So if you had gap insurance, you'd get the 30 grand back, give them back their 15 and have 15 grand cash. You can go and get another car. Some people make profit out of it. Not saying you should do that though. But it's a way it can benefit you. Gap insurance.
Hey, the gems are flowing this episode, yo. Episode 22. Hey, but there's one more thing that I wanted to ask you. Damn. In your experience in the game, what would you say is the one biggest mistake that people make, man? From our culture as well.
You know, in our culture, not seeking expert advice.
Okay.
So when I see people, and this is my own personal friends did this, because they don't rate you the same. They're your friends. So it'd be like, they'd come to me and they'd ask me for advice. And I'd go, fine, I'll give you advice, whatever. They'd go out and buy a car. Not my problem. The car breaks. Can you help me? No, the car's broken already, mate. When I told you not to buy that 80,000 mile Fiat Punto for $5,000, and I told you just to wait. Again, waiting. I remember once my first car was £500 and it broke on Christmas Day, and it was a terrible experience for me, but I needed it. By the time I was so desperate to drive, looking back, why were you in a rush to drive at 18, bro? Do you know what I mean?
You could
have waited and
been
done it better. So yeah, the crucial mistake is not waiting, being impatient and being ignorant. People say to me, I'm bringing my dad and my boyfriend. What are they going to do? Like, I always say to people, what's your dad going to do? Beat up the salesperson if he gives you a bad deal?
Yeah, like, he doesn't know,
Seek expert advice.
It's knowledge.
Seek expert advice.
It's interesting to say that because even me as well, I bought my first car in uni for 375, bro. Peugeot 307. Woo! 375, And then, mate, I had it for...
The French cars,
So I had it for about, let's say, maybe 3-4 months. And before I came back home, I sold it for $5,000. So... Money, little bit of problem, bro.
Love that.
I can't complain, man. But yeah, like, I think everybody has that experience of like, you're young, you want to drive, you just go and grab something cheap from Gumtree, bro.
Another word of advice, it's going to go wrong before it goes right. You're going to lose money. You'll probably sit
part of the journey, right?
On the A3, bruv, in tears to your broken down car. It's part of the journey.
You're the new Kias.
Yeah.
Kia Sportage.
They're
nice. But yeah, like, quite often, like, on Twitter or something, like, you see a girl, brand new one, and the APR sounding crazy.
It's $1,000 a month, bro.
It is nuts, but it's crazy. Everyone do what they got to do, man.
But it's changing.
Yeah. And a bit like you said a bit earlier, it's your money, bro, end of the day, man. But what we have to do is, you know what I mean, have the advice, have the right information in the right place for the culture.
And you still might not take it. And that's what I find.
And that's fine as well.
We look at the electric thing. The electric thing.
EVs. How do you feel about EVs, man? I'm thinking of getting one, bro.
Oh, I'm going to sound like a really bad guy by saying this, yeah?
Yeah, go on.
EVs, it's very much to do with tax. Okay. I'm not going to sit here and sugarcoat it. That's what it's about, innit? So let's look at Tesla, for example. Tesla's 10 years ago were really popular. Like, people were very much... Like, that was people's dream cars. Me being a petrolhead, I was like, no, I want to hear a C63 go down the road, bro. I'm not trying to do this electric silent stuff. But there's good and bad of it. I think the problem with is like people don't see the future because it's like, okay, you had an electric Tesla 10 years ago. What happens when the battery goes? No one don't answer that question. No one don't know. So it's like, if you're a business owner, what you do is you take a Tesla or a Porsche Taycan and you go, okay, I'm putting this through the business. I'd claim 100% back. So it's a tax write-off 100% for the first year. So it's very beneficial from a business side, but naturally you're only leasing the car for 3 years. So you might put your employee in that car, whatever. And then after that now, it's none of your business. The problem is that car's got a cash value. So a 120 grand Porsche Taycan, if you're like me on Auto Trader at 3 a.m. going, rah, Porsche Taycan for 35 bags, you don't see the danger in it. You buy that Porsche Taycan for 35K, it's now 5-6 years old, and the battery's warranty is about to run out, or the battery might have been damaged, whatever it might be, but you're just buying it in ignorance. You don't get the actual range they say you're supposed to get. So there's something called WLTP, not to get too technical on you, but Worldwide Lightweight Testing, Vehicle Testing Procedure. So when the Dieselgate thing came out with Volkswagen, that guy actually went to jail, you know? Because he was basically putting a computer on the cars that would lie about the emissions and trick the government standards. So when they caught them doing it, they came down on everybody. So with EVs, they'll tell you, oh, it gets 350 miles on a single charge. It might get 300 miles because it's real world testing. Are you going to have your heated seats on? That's going to zap your battery. Are you gonna turn on your aircon?
Heated steering wheel.
Gets dark, bro. I'm saying, you see boss man drive around, the whole thing's foggy, yeah? Yeah. Whole thing's foggy, yeah? Because you're trying to save that electric range. So when people have to live with them, it's a bit different. Where can you charge it? I once sold a customer a car and they were like, it's on street charging, but our house is 8 meters away and the cable's 7 meters. Well, sorry.
How are you going to do it?
How are you going to charge it?
Yeah.
So yeah, for most people, if you're a business owner, it works great. But I think if you're buying it personally, be careful, because again, cars are vanity, warranty sanity. And I had a guy who came into Land Rover one day and was like, I've got this EQC thing. And I said, why are you selling it so soon? It's a year old. I think it was on the 72 plate and it was like 73. I said, what are you doing here? Because oh, I want to change it. It was 70 grand brand new. It's now 35 grand because the market's dipped. The battery's gone on it. Mercedes quoted the man £30,000 because he was 30 days out of warranty and you have to pay it. It's not like an engine where it's one part of the engine you fix. No, the battery goes, you're gone, you're cooked.
Good old thing.
So with electric cars, I like them, but I think they're like mobile phones. Mobile phone in the 80s was like a status thing. You had one, but it was terrible. The coverage was bad. The batteries were bad. Now iPhones can do so much. I think batteries and electric cars will get there eventually.
Okay. I've got a nice way of putting it. Like, eventually,
it will
get to a place where it's durable and everyone can virtually use it, like, with ease.
But for now, it's taxed. Don't get twisted. The government want their money on, because things like ULEZ, and it makes the government a lot of money. But you need to also, if you guys are into electric cars, research a company called BYD.
BYD.
Beyond Your Dreams. Because the Chinese make the batteries. So they make companies like BYD. And BYD is taking over right now. They got the majority share. Because 80% of a car's cost to make is the battery.
Yeah.
So if you're getting a battery for the low, if you're the plug, no one can compete with the Chinese prices.
Yeah.
And if you look at a BYD, you'd go, that's a nice car. And they're doing great deals on them right now. You can get a BYD people, 349 a month, 349 deposit. Do you get what I mean? And it's all electric. And there's loads of benefits for it. You don't pay, I think, I'm not sure if they're going to change the law, but like congestion charge before you get to park in certain places. They're rapidly fast, electric cars, but just know what you're doing in it, because it gets expensive if it goes wrong.
Yeah, for sure.
Hybrids make the most sense.
Yeah,
because
for sure.
if you need to go to Scotland on a hybrid, just put petrol in it. And then if you're doing local driving, just put it in electric mode. It's brilliant, honestly.
Yeah, yeah. The hybrid thing is certainly something that I've been keen on as well. But hey, man,
it's expensive.
I enjoyed this episode, man.
Thank you.
Hey,
thank you, man.
This has been a really good episode, man.
Yeah.
Guys, if you enjoyed that episode, please make sure you like, you comment, you subscribe.
Please do. Yeah.
It's been really great to learn so much about the world of car finance and also just financial literacy as well. Like, we know that it's so important, like
100%.
With our culture. So, but I appreciate you for coming down, man.
Thank you, man.
It's great coming on.
Thank you. I'm just a normal guy who works a normal job, and with the Whip Whisperer, I've just been really blessed that people buy into it and they trust me to help them get cars. And you know, if you go on TikTok, you'll see me ranting about cars and how I feel. But I think, God willing, one day I'll achieve my goal, which is, I always thought to myself, what if Jeremy Clarkson and Kade Trapp were in a room? Because the way you mentioned the culture, I love the music, I love the scene, and even like the music video. Shout out to Miles Suave, bruv. If one day I get to work with one of those music producers and you know, those video directors, I definitely would. But I always think, like, if Chris Harris listened to Kade Trapp, how hard would that be? Or Jeremy Clarkson, bro, that would be sick if they listened to our music and took that in. Dave, when I went to Aston Martin, Dave came in, and Dave's actually an ambassador for Aston Martin. So we're getting there slowly. But I want it to be a thing where, bro, we're seeing more young black girls and guys showing their love for cars and motorsport because it's there. It's but I just feel like maybe we're ashamed to speak about it, or we feel like we don't know. I didn't give a toss, bro. I was in them showrooms, you got what I mean? It's a massive blessing. I just thank God that he's challenged me to bring it forward to people. And you know, hopefully, you know, people can benefit from it.
For sure, man. Hey, well, guys, that was episode 22. See you guys later, man. Peace.
Take care, man.